In the scripture reading of Hebrews chapter 12, we have the admonition there from the writer concerning an Old Testament story about Esau. And the writer of the book of Hebrews is trying to encourage the brethren not to fall away from Jesus, not to give up on Jesus. And one admonition he gives is not to be like Esau. In Hebrews chapter 12, we're told that for one morsel of meat, for one mess of meat, he sold his own birthright. Later in the chapter, in Hebrews chapter 12, the church, verse 23, is described as the church of the firstborn ones. As Christians, we have a spiritual birthright, being the firstborn. And that birthright is forgiveness of sins and a home in heaven. And don't throw that away, the Hebrew writer is saying, like Esau, being the firstborn, threw his birthright away, sold it for one mess of meat, one bowl of soup, as it were. I want us to talk this morning about sacrificing your future on the altar of instant gratification. Really, that's what's going on here. Esau was hungry, and he was willing to sacrifice that future birthright just so that he could have something to eat, just so that he could help his hunger at an instant and at a moment. What we're talking about this morning, brethren, is the devil's tactic that he uses with us to go ahead and gratify something at the present. Gratify an instant urge that you have, and don't worry about the future. Not only the future of a home in heaven, but future things that are important in this life that we'll talk about later in the lesson. Don't worry about those things. Those things are not important. They're way off in the distance. You just worry about being gratified right now. That really is a tactic that is very common today in the world that we live in. Stop and think about our culture of instant gratification. We have fast food. We have instant food. We have instant ways of correcting problems that normally would have taken months. We have situations where a person can lose weight just like that in an instant, rather than the natural way that might take months or years. We can go in and have surgery and just lose it right now. We can change something physically by going to the plastic surgeon, and we can just walk out a few days later and our body's changed. And we have instant food and instant credit, and we can get all kinds of money very quickly. We have all kinds of things like that in our society. You can get a bag of vegetables and pop it in the microwave for about 5 minutes. You don't have to pick them. You don't have to clean them. You don't have to cut them. You don't even have to put them in a bowl. You don't even have to get a bowl. You don't have to reach up and get the bowl anymore. You just put it in there. When it comes up, you cut the bag and pour it on your plate. We can just have anything almost, it seems like, as quick as we want it. And some of those types of time-saving features are fine. The problem is the devil gets us to thinking about those things with regard to sinful matters. And so the story then is just for one quick meal, I'm hungry and I'm going to gratify that hunger. I don't care about my birthright. I don't care about the future. I don't care about what's down the road. I want us to talk about this morning this tactic that the devil uses, so that we know that he's out there using that to keep us from going down that same path and sacrificing ultimately our home in heaven. We certainly live in a world of instant gratification. Get it today and don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the consequences. And again, I'm not just talking about heaven. I'm talking about some other things that we're willing to sacrifice even in this life. Because I can get it today and I can get it now. We live in a world of instant fulfillment, instant gratification. And the devil is using that to his advantage. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 16. This idea of get it now is not something that is new. Do you remember the sons of Eli that ministered in the tabernacle when it came to the sacrifices? They didn't want to follow the laws of the portions of meat and so forth that was to be given to the priest. Those laws are found in Leviticus 3 and in Leviticus 7. They didn't want to follow those things. In 1 Samuel 2 and verse 16, "And if the man said to him," the priest, Eli's son, "they will surely burn the fat first, then take as much as thy soul desireth," then he would say, "No, but you will give it to me now." I want you to underscore that in your Bible. "You will give it to me now." That really is the attitude, not only of Eli's sons, but of many people, and if we're not careful, even us today. "Give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. And the sin of the young men was very great before Jehovah, for the men despised the offering of Jehovah." You give it to me now. We're not going to follow the rules that are in the Word of God. And so this same attitude exists even today. And if we're not careful, in some areas of our life, we may be saying the very same thing. Now, we might be thinking with regard to our life that I'm not going to do that with regard to sexual sin or something like that. But the attitude of "give it to me now" can be in other areas of our life. The devil uses this instant gratification to get us to sacrifice our future on the altar of instant gratification. Have it now. Don't worry about the future consequences. Let me ask you this question. Turn with me to Luke 16 and verse 4. When you make decisions in your life, do you think about what's going to happen down the road? I'm not talking about even big decisions like marriage or what kind of employment. I'm just talking about just simple, everyday, small decisions. Something you think, a word that you say, an activity that you engage in. Have you ever thought about, before doing that, what's this going to lead to tomorrow or next week or next month or later in the year? This idea of planning ahead is actually a principle that Jesus wants us to be thinking about. Do you remember the wise steward in Luke chapter 16 and verse 4? Whose master came to him and said, "I'm going to relieve you of your duties." And in verse 4 he said, "I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." He was planning ahead. And so he went to those who owed him and he made provisions to take care of that so that when he was relieved of his job, they would take him in and they would help him. He was thinking about the future. He was planning for the future. And Jesus commends him later in the story that you're a wise steward. Do you do that when you say something or think something or do something? Do you stop and think, look at this statement, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their house. Do you think about, okay, when such and such happens, then this is going to be taken care of. Do you think about, or do you just do it and think later? Act and think later. Act on impulse, think later. Act on impulse and then worry about it later. Jesus is saying, no, think ahead and then act. That will control your actions. And so this man is commended for his planning and his future and forward thinking and preparing for that. We really need to do that. The problem with Esau was, it's about now. And we need, brethren, to avoid this now mentality. This made me feel good now. We need to be thinking down the road. Esau wouldn't do that. And others in the Bible would not do that. It's the Eli's son mentality, give it to me now. And so I want us to learn how the devil uses this and exploits this to his advantage. Like Paul said, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We know how he works, and we're not going to let him get us in this area. Some people approach marriage this way. The attitude is that marriage, I want it now, and I'm not going to think about the person that I'm marrying. I'm not going to prepare and am I marrying a Christian? Am I going to be patient and work through this? But just let's just get married now. Don't worry about what's down the road. And often it ends in divorce, or it ends in some other kind of heartache, or it ends in me being pulled away from Christ because I didn't take time to choose someone that's going to help me get to heaven. All I'm thinking about, I'm young and I just want to get married. Can't wait to get married, you see. Well, marriage is God-given, and marriage is honorable in the sight of all. Hebrews 13 and verse 4, marriage is God-ordained, but it takes planning and patience and preparation to choose that mate that's going to help us get to heaven. Some people approach that with regard to other things in their life. I just want a child. And I'm not going to worry about who's going to take care of it and how I'm going to take care of it and what I need. I just want to get pregnant. Can't wait to get a child. Well, again, having children is a gift from the Lord. Psalm 127 in verse 4 and 5. But it's something that we need to think about. It's a serious responsibility. It's a grave responsibility to nurture them and guide them in the right way and to take care of them, as we're going to talk about this evening. But the give it to me now approach is often found with regard to that. And I just want to have that sexual fulfillment. And so, as we're going to see this evening, a lot of times you'll have these out of wedlock teen births and that type of thing. And all I was thinking about was just the heat of the moment and how it felt good. And now here I am pregnant. And, well, who's going to take care of it? You see, I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. And I got to stay home and feed it. And I haven't even finished school yet. You see, and that type of thing. Well, all of a sudden, reality sets in. I have just sacrificed my future in many ways because of an instant gratification. And so the devil uses that and exploits that. What about new things? I got to have this. I got to go out and buy this. I just got to go buy that. I got to buy this. I got to buy that. Give it to me now. Well, we don't worry about down the road. And I've just sacrificed that down the road. Now I'm in debt and I can't take care of other responsibilities. And now I've got other kinds of heartaches and I got to work more and I've got overtime. And I just sacrificed my future because I just wanted to have some things now, you see. I'm not going to budget. I'm not going to worry about those heartaches and headaches down the road. I just want to go out and let me ask you this. Does it feel good to buy something brand new? Come on, let's be honest. It feels good. It feels good to go shopping. It feels good to take that home. And that's the whole point about this. There are these good feelings. Let me ask you this. When Esau was eating that soup, as it's going down, it felt good. Have you ever been that hungry? I have. You have, I'm sure. You're taking those bites. It's like, wow. That feels good. Now, in any other circumstance, that wouldn't be a problem. But he had just sold his birthright. That's the problem. Boy, that feels good, man. You see him eating that up? These things feel good on the front end. But we're sacrificing our future often when we do that. You know, the whole point about smoking and drugs and alcohol and overeating, you know what it is? It's give it to me now. I gotta have that nicotine. Really? I've been waiting for that. And the person's at work, and those of you who are out in the workplace, and the law requires the 15-minute smoke break. But, man, they rush out, they light up. They gotta have that. That puff, that drag, that they got to get that gratification. That's what the drug is all about. That's what the alcohol is all about. On the front end, it gives me something quick, whether it's drowning my sorrows in alcohol or I want to feel good in some way. A couple of drinks is going to, boom, it's going to get me and I'm going to feel good. But I'm sacrificing what's down the road. I'm hurting my body. I'm hurting my influence. I'm wasting my money. And the list just goes on and on. Because I got my quick puff. And I got my drugs. And I got my drink, you see. And I'm eating and it feels good. And I'm not worried about weight and, you know, other my heart and other kinds of things. I'm not worried about that. Putting off that day, you see. It just feels good going down. That really is a exploitation that the devil is using to his advantage so much, not only in Bible times, but even today. And so what happens is, we say, look, preacher, you've gone to meddling. Don't talk about consequences with me. I don't want to hear about the future. So turn with me to Amos chapter 6. This idea is found in the book of Amos, and it's really a matter of human nature that hasn't changed. It's still the same way today. I don't want to talk about future consequences. Don't come talking to me about what might happen down the road. Look at Israel in the days of Amos. They were living a plush life. They had homes of ivory and they were engaged in all kinds of things. And when Amos came and told them about their idolatry and how they had left God, look at verse 3. You that put far away the evil day and caused the seed of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock. They're doing well, They felt good. They put far away the evil day. You know, the interesting thing about this is that the book of Amos is written not too much before the fall of Samaria. It's this idea, don't talk about consequences. And I'm going to put off that, well, yeah, you know, I am smoking and doing drugs and alcohol and overeating, but, down the road I'll deal with that. Well, that down the road comes often very quickly. And I'll deal with that debt later. I'll deal with the pregnancy and the marriage and all of that later. So we put off the evil day. And that's another tactic of the devil. Don't think about future consequences. Don't talk about that. Don't bother me with those kinds of things. I'm just enjoying the life that I'm living right now. I'll get by. I always have. I always will. I'm still around, preacher, and I've been smoking X number of years. I've been drinking. I've always gotten by. And so really that is the mentality. I've always found a way to pay off this debt and I juggle it around and it works out well for me. Well, it may. But that future is still out there and it's going to come home to roost one day. I got this from my family. This is the way I've always been. Or I inherited this from my parents. My parents were like this, you see. Well, we always make the excuses. We always say how it's not going to be me. And yet, often, it is. And the Lord has His way of bringing it around where those consequences, where we reap what we sow. So let's be mindful of the devil's tactic, and let's look at a few Bible examples this morning of this. First of all, the example that we have with Esau. Quick deals. You want to make a quick deal? Want to make a quick bargain? That's very common in life. But when we translate that into our spiritual life, we're going to miss heaven. So it says just for one mess of meat there, for one little pottage, one little bowl of pottage or soup there, he sold his birthright. And it said that he was famished. Here's a quick way to make a deal. And it worked out well for him. But he's described in Hebrews as a profane and empty man for doing that. Don't make a quick deal and lose your soul over it. What about sexual gratification? I think about Samson. Judges chapter 14, verse 3. He says to his parents, go get her, for she pleases me. And in Judges chapter 16 and verse 1, he saw a harlot and gazed and went down under her. All he was thinking about was the sexual gratification that he could have at the moment. We see individuals who act. And then what do we find later? That the strongest man in the Bible becomes the weakest man, doesn't he? Weak in character and weak with inward strength because he was not willing to follow God's word. What did Job's wife say? Turn to Job chapter 2 and verse 9. Remember when Job was smitten from head to toe with boils and he had lost his family? Remember what his wife said? Do you know what his wife said? His wife said the very thing the devil said. She was the devil's spokesman. The devil's slogan is, curse God and die. Get it over with. Do you realize, Job, that you don't have to go through this agony? You don't have to scrape your sword with pieces of pottery. You don't have to do that. It'll all be gone if you'll just curse God right now. Just have it right up. And you think, oh man, that would feel good that I don't have to go through this anymore. And you know what? It would just take a few words and boom, it'll all be over with. How long does it take to curse God? It doesn't take very long. It'll just all be over with. See that idea of instant gratification? And what does he say? No, you speak as one of the foolish women. I'm not going to do that. But this idea of instant relief, the scraping, that hurts. Those boils hurt. You can have instant relief. In fact, we have medications today and advertised as instant relief. And in those cases, it's fine. But in this case, it would have come at the cost of denying God. This is found all over God's Word, and it's found in our society today. And it's killing many and some in the Lord's church. What about instant credit? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7. That the borrower is slave to the lender. We need to be careful about, we are in debt up to our ears in this nation. And some of the best and conservative money managers in the land will tell you to limit your debt to maybe buying a home We might make one other exception to maybe buying a car, but limit that. Dave Ramsey and others who know what they're talking about will say, they're just building on biblical principles. You have to limit that. Otherwise, you're going to become the slave. The slave. Well, I'm not going to worry about being enslaved to that lender, the ball and chain. I just want it now, and so I'm going to go buy it now and put it on the card and get more cards. I know of someone in their 60s that has mentioned to me that they're still paying off those debts and those credits that they incurred earlier in life because they got out of hand. And so what we're doing is we're sacrificing our future peace, our future retirement, our future ease. Now I've got to keep working, and I'm in my 60s. I've got to keep working because all that stuff earlier in life, I'm sacrificing my future. And you know what? It's interesting that when I was a kid, the idea of borrowing this instant money thing, first of all, there were fewer of those things around. They're all up and down Memorial Boulevard. They're everywhere. Instant cash, quick cash. First of all, there were fewer than when I was a child. But you know what's even interesting today is that some of them are very open about the fact that this is just going to kill you if you do it. There's a commercial that runs around noon for Western Sky. It's an instant money lending thing, and they've got commercials all day long. It's called Western Sky. And the guy comes on and says, you can get money real quick. And here's the 1-800 number. And you know what he says? Listen to this. I can't even believe, but they're just being open about it because I guess a lot of people don't care. He says, yes, I know the money is expensive, but you can have it right now. And I'm thinking, wow. No, yes, I know the money is expensive, but you can have it right now. In other words, if you borrow $100, you got to pay me back $150 or more. So we just want instant having this, and I'll just worry about how I deal with that other later. We become a slave then. And people are messing up their marriages. They're messing up their homes because it's all about the plastic and just paying off the plastic. And the little piece of plastic is my master, you see. We've got to be very careful about that. It's instant gratification, but down the road we're sacrificing future important things. The borrower is slave to the lender, Proverbs 22, verse 7. Fun times now. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24 when Noah was preaching, get in the ark, get in the ark. Here comes the flood. He was a preacher of righteousness for some 120 years. The only people he got on that ark was himself and his wife and his kids and their wives. Others were not interested, and Jesus tells us why, and he says that in the judgment day when the Son of Man comes, it's going to be similar. But in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 38, for as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. But they were having a good time. They were eating and partying and having a good time, you see. Fun times. Well, there's a time and place for getting out with the family and others and having good, wholesome, clean fun. But this is the idea. Fun times now, and I'm going to put off the future. Yeah, Noah, you're building this big old boat, and you're ranting and raving over there about some flood. I don't care about that. I'm having a good time, you see. So we're going to sacrifice that future judgment and be on the wrong side of the water. People do that now. Have you ever talked with someone about, well, why don't you come to services? Why don't you have a Bible study? No, I'm having too much fun, you see. We see that in our society today. What about quick profits? Turn to Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to make a quick buck. Make a quick profit. Well, at what expense? In Matthew chapter 26, with regard to Judas, he made a quick 30 pieces of silver, didn't he? He didn't have to work very hard for that. You know all he had to do to get 30 pieces of silver? Just kiss someone. Pretty quick cash, isn't it? But what did he sacrifice? You know what he sacrificed? When you turn over to Matthew chapter 27, he sacrificed his future emotional state where he realized, I have betrayed innocent blood. And he went out and hung himself. It got in him. And all he was thinking about earlier was a quick cash, quick cash, quick deal, quick profit. But then later when reality sets in, I have done wrong. The guilt and the pain, it drove him to suicide. He sacrificed his future. He wasn't saying, oh, I'm not thinking about that. Well, we should. We need to be. And that's what God's Word is about, thinking about that future. That's why these Bible verses are there, to get us to think past the instant gratification. Get us to think past that quick deal, to down the road. What is it doing for me and my family and others around me? Turn with me to Luke chapter 12, instant success. Get out there and graduate. And get a good job. Get that money coming in. Get that new car. Get that new apartment. Get that new house. As parents, sometimes we talk with our young people about that. Get out there and you know, live the life. Live the American dream. Well, it's like the man building barns and bigger barns, but he wasn't taking care of his soul. And so he had earthly success and material success and physical success. And he was able to build barns, and the Lord blesses us. There's nothing wrong with that. But in that success, he had failed to take care of the most important part. And so we've got to be careful about that. Get out there and graduate and go to college. Start making that money, you see, and start buying that new home and get you some furniture and buy this. And here when we sit back, we're living the American dream. But are we taking care of our soul? Are we right with God? Sometimes that instant success, what we're doing is we're sacrificing future spiritual things. I think about Luke 15 and verse 13, where the young man of the prodigal son comes to his father and says, give me, give me, give me. Kind of reminds me of the proverb. There are four things that say, give me. And we're in a give me society. We're in a give me society, a selfish give me society. And he got it. And what did he do? He just went out and instantly and quickly blew it. You know what? If you come up to mom and dad and they give you a wad of money that you didn't work for, and you didn't work hard for, and you didn't have to sweat over it, you get that big old wad of money, it's easy to go out and blow it, isn't it? Oh yeah, you didn't have to work for that. So you're not concerned about spending and conserving and buying or anything. Give me what belongs to me. The father had worked hard for that inheritance and saved up for that. And our parents have, you know, worked hard and saved and conserved it. But I get it. I'm going to go out and blow it. And so just the wasteful prodigal spending and living. He didn't look down the road. He was just having a good time, you see. And then down the road, what he had sacrificed was his own health. He was hungry. He was away from his father, and he realized that he was lost. You see, that's the devil's way. Get it quick on the front end. It'll feel good. You'll be happy. You'll have good times. Don't think about tomorrow or next week or down the road. What the devil is doing is he's getting us to sacrifice our future on the altar of instant gratification. Worldliness in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world or this present age. There was something there that he loved so much that he was willing to forsake Paul and the work of the Lord and leave that because I'm loving this right now. And so there are things of this life, whether it's material things, things that we see on TV, movies, other kinds of things. I want to have it now. My clothes and my electronics and my this and my that. You see, I'm loving it, having a good time with it. But I'm not taking care of my soul. And even if I'm a Christian, maybe like Demas, I'm going to forsake those good people, forsake Paul and the good work of the Lord, and I'm just going to run off and engage in worldliness. Because I can have it now, and I can have some good times now. Turn with me to Titus chapter 1 and verse 7. Have you ever thought about this with regard to our words? We're going to let that word fly. And I'll tell you what, it makes us feel good when we do it. That bit of gossip, that bit of anger, that outburst, that backbiting, whatever it is, we're just going to let it fly. And you know what? When we let it fly, it makes us feel good. It feels good to let it fly. Because, oh, I really did them in. I hurt them. And think about it as a pressure cooker. And you're just going to let that steam off. And when you let that steam off, boy, that feels good. In Titus chapter 1, this word is used one time in the New Testament here in Titus chapter 1 and verse 7 with regard to the elder, but it needs to be with regard to all of us. It says, not soon angry. The Greek word there means not going to allow a quick outburst of anger. We're going to be patient. We're going to control that. We're going to keep a lid on that. We're just not going to let it fly. But you stop and think about that. Are we willing to sacrifice our future because we're going to let it fly?
We say, well, what do you mean? You mean heaven? Well, even before that, when you let something fly, do you sacrifice your future influence?
Yeah.
Do you sacrifice any future example that you might have with that person?
Yeah.
Because you know what they remember? That word or that string of words that you let fly. So later down the road, when you try to help them or you're trying to work with them, they're thinking, I don't know about that. You let that fly. So it's not just sacrificing heaven, but we're sacrificing things tomorrow or the next week or the next month. And so the devil is all about let it go, you see. Just get it quick. And I know the temptation of that. I know the danger of that. We all have things here that we struggle with, things that tempt us. And a lot of the temptation has to do with get it now, get it quick. Just feel good in the moment. Don't worry about later today, later tomorrow, whatever the case might be. I think this is another good example of this instant gratification. So what's true for the elder needs to be true for all of us, that we don't need to be soon angry. We don't need to have that outburst of anger where you just let it fly and let a string of whatever. Well, I don't use profanity. No, that's not the case. It might be something else short of profanity that is still an outburst of anger. And so what do we need to do? As we come to the close of our lesson, we need to turn to Bible examples for guidance and help. I want to close with this thought, and that is, don't sacrifice your future. Job didn't. What did Job tell his wife? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to buy into this instant gratification thing. And so in Job chapter 2 and verse 10, he would not sin with his lips. Do you know that there are Bible men and women who won't go down this path? And that's the admonition for us. We're not going to go down this path. We see Bible men and women not doing it, and we're not going to do it. We're not going to go up to that altar of instant gratification and lay on it our words or our debt or our sexual sins or whatever it might be. I'm just going to lay it up there and have fun right now. I'm not going to do that. You know why? Because it can be done. Number one, Job did it. And he wouldn't sin with his lips. And he told his wife that you're speaking as one of the foolish women. I'm not going to heed that advice. We can wait. We can wait and go through what we need to go through. Even if it's the biting of the tongue, if it's the suppressing of that inward flare-up, if it's the sexual temptation, if it's the urge to overeat, or the puff of smoke, or the buying something that I don't need, whatever it is, you can suppress that, and you can say no to that, so that you don't sacrifice your future. Is it hard? Absolutely. Can it be done? Absolutely. Jesus waited. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. And he did this for our example. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 4, you realize that those temptations of the devil are the very thing that we're talking about this morning? What were those temptations? They involve instant gratification. You can turn stones into bread and eat right now if you want. You can jump off the temple, and you know what? God will give you instant gratification with the help of an angel. Now, you'd be making trial of the Lord, that's true. But look at the instant help he gets. You see what he does? And then he says, if you'll bow down to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. You know what? Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. And he does rule all the kingdoms. But you know how he had to do it? By going through the cross. Not by just quickly bowing down to the devil and then getting it. He had to go through the cross. He had to do that in the way that God wanted him to get that. It's all about instant gratification with the devil. And so in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3, look at it. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. I'm going to keep my eyes on that future goal. I'm not going to sacrifice that so that I can just have something right now. I'm going to go through that way, even if it means enduring the cross and despising shame, people spitting on him and that cruel treatment that he got during the trial especially. Jesus waited. Now turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Somebody says, well, that's Jesus, and he was the Son of God, and so, you know, he's different, and how does that have anything to do with me? Well, Peter says we're supposed to follow that example. What Jesus did there, he did in a way that we can do it. He didn't do it as the divine Son of God and use something that we don't have. He did that in a way that we can do it. He is our example. And so, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow His steps. That step of waiting, that step of patience and endurance. Who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. Do you think Jesus could have let one fly there on the trial? You better believe it. He could have let something fly. But when He was reviled, He didn't revile again. When He suffered, threatened not. Do you think Jesus could have hit back? Yeah, He could have hit back. He was being struck on the head. He could have hit them back. But He didn't. I'm going to let it fly, you see. No, this is all an example of how to get through it. What's the answer? Verse 23. He committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. So when you get in that moment of instant gratification, don't do it. Commit yourself to God. God, help me. I'm going to rely on You. Go to Him in prayer, open up your Bible, turn to God, and that will pass. You'll get through that. And you won't have to sacrifice any future on that altar of instant gratification. Paul waited. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9. Paul had an approach to life that he was going to suppress and hold things back so that he doesn't lose that race. I buffet my body. I control it. And bring it into bondage, lest by any means after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. I'm going to live by the principle of self-discipline. And listen, that can be some of the hardest things to do, but it is one of the greatest values in our life. I'm going to have self-discipline, whether it's with that word, or the money, or the sexual gratification, or whatever it might be that we talked about earlier. Buffet my body. And of course, Paul would say, my mind too. Moses waited. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. A couple more examples and the lesson is yours. What about Moses? He was raised in Pharaoh's court, had all the niceties of that. And I can have Egypt. And I can have the glories of Egypt and the riches of Egypt. And I can have all that right now because I was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. But the text says that he refused. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There's your instant gratification. I'm not going to choose sinful things here in Egypt, and I can have them right now. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go out with these people of God and be with them. I'm willing to make that right choice. Look at verse 26. Here's the answer. Accounting the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. I'm not going to sacrifice my future blessings with God and Christ because of some things that I can have right here and now in Egypt. I'm just not going to do that. What a beautiful example. And so, brethren, the point is this, that godly men and women have waited before and have refused to sacrifice their future. And so the admonition then is all of us must do the same. James 5, and then the lesson is yours. James is talking to brethren, and he says that there's going to be moments where you just simply need to wait and be patient for the coming of the Lord. Don't buy into the devil's get it and get it now, give it to me now approach to life. James 5, verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman or the farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. Sometimes you're just going to have to wait. Wait. Well, I got to buy it now. I got to let that fly now, you see. I got to take that smoke now. No. You've got to wait, and you've got to say no to those things. Why? Because of the precious fruit. I was listening to, on the way up to visit Mom and Dad, I enjoy listening to preaching, and I was listening to Mo Haefeling. He said that when he was little, he planted a watermelon seed and went out the next day, and when there was no watermelon, he dug it up. Well, this is terrible. This doesn't work. When the farmer plants the seed, you have to wait. There might be a 3-month growing season there, but you have to wait for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it until it receives the early and
the latter rank. Don't buy into the instant gratification of the devil. Don't sacrifice your future on the altar of instant gratification. There may be someone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel. You've been putting off that evil day. Well, don't talk to me about hell. Don't talk to me about the judgment day. It's that idea of, I don't want to hear about future consequences. If you need to make some changes, do that today. Come and obey the gospel if you need to do that. Or as an erring child of God, come back in some way. Don't just let that go. Well, I'll deal with that tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. And later today and tomorrow and the next day, when these types of things come up with us and the devil's going to say, you know what? Have it right now. You say no to that. And you think of Job. And you think of Jesus. And think of Paul. And think of Moses. Those men, and they're godly women who did the same, said no to that instant gratification because I'm not going to sacrifice the future that God holds for me, not only in heaven, but in this life. My future example, my future influence, my future family. I'm not gonna just burn that up because of an instant right here. I'm just not gonna do it. I'm gonna serve the Lord and wait for Him. And that's the encouragement of the lesson this morning, and I hope that we'll all be encouraged to wait patiently for that fruit that's going to come. In a life that's difficult sometimes and challenging, but you just be patient and you wait on the Lord, as Isaiah says. And He will raise you up on the eagle's wings. We'll be able to work through those things that the devil throws at us, and we'll be able to have that home in heaven. If we can assist you, if you're subject in any way to the invitation, why won't you come as we stand and sing?